on the Stickies Hotline is Spencer Hall. Sir, how are you? Good to have you back in the zone.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, yeah, if you want consistent plotting with good timing, college football is not your movie.
Yeah, this is it's just disappointing. I mean, I'm almost sort of – I wouldn't say I've lost interest, but, you know, around here, of course, we were so involved in the Sugar Bowl. We had our big letdown after we lost to Ohio State. And so then you have to wait a whole nother week for the national title game. It's kind of weird. And, you know, I understand them pushing it back and trying to stretch the season. And I'm sure whoever the sponsor is for bowl month on ESPN pays a huge number to try to stretch that out over time. But it's almost, you know, working against them now.
It may be working against them. Demographics may be a bigger part because Oregon-Auburn, while a very compelling matchup, both on paper, I think, and in how it will actually play out, I don't think it's the matchup they wanted in terms of ratings.
So what do you think they wanted?
They want somebody near a large city, and they want a large brand. They want a Texas. They want a Florida. You know, though it is in the realm of fantasy at this point, they would love to have, you know, Notre Dame. They would love to have a big presence on the screen when it comes to a national title game. And though Auburn and Oregon are major programs, it's not like the West Coast is going to tune in to watch Oregon, and it's not like outside of the college football belt you'll get a lot of pull for Auburn either, which is why they sell Cam Newton, because, you know, he's as big a brand name as you'll find associated with this.
Spencer, I'm sure you've looked into this some. We were talking about it earlier today. I didn't realize how significant the numbers were, even though we've watched Cam Newton all year and you've seen the numbers pile up. But what he's about to accomplish, if he were to get 91 yards tonight, 2,500 yards, 2,500 yards passing, 1,500 yards rushing, and then if he throws for a couple of TDs, you get 30 touchdowns passing and 20 rushing. Has it ever been replicated in any season? We were going back to, like, who's the hyphenated kid from Indiana again, Joe? I always forget his name. Is it Randall
Antoine
L?
Randall
yeah,
L.
Randall L. I mean, has anybody ever done anything like that?
Vince Young is as close as you'll get at, and Tim Tebow in 2007.
And he was
in his Heisman season.
He was 2020,
and I don't
right?
Have, Yeah, he wasn't.
He was 30-20.
Really parallel. Oh, 30-20. Okay.
Yeah, these are guys who came close. But what you're seeing out of Cam Newton is really unparalleled in terms of production and in terms of how much that offense leans on, which either gives you faith in making a pick in Auburn because of his consistent production throughout the year, and because even if he has a bad game, his talent is still going to be several grades above what you thought was humanly possible, or it gives you some pause because, you know, you think, well, the Auburn offense leans a lot on him. If anything happens to him, or if he has a really, really bad game, which he hasn't all year, mind you, but if he has a really, really bad game, then Auburn will be in serious trouble.
What about, the thing we started talking about a little bit today is the quarterback from Oregon. Obviously, they've been on a big stage all year, too, because they've been making a run towards the national title. But he, to me, is a little bit of an X factor. I'm not sure how he's going to respond on the big stage.
Well, they get the same production out of their quarterbacks just year in and year out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what you'll see from Darren Thomas, because think about all of the quarterbacks who've taken snaps for Oregon in the past 4 years due to injury. I mean, remember, everyone was really dismayed over the dismissal of Jeremiah Masoli in the offseason. Mm-hmm. However, Jeremiah Masoli, if you remember, was at one point the third stringer for the Oregon Ducks, and then became an irreplaceable starter. They work off a system. And though that is a cliche, it's a cliche because it's true, because they run that offense so well no matter who's in, provided that the quarterback is a running threat. Darren Thomas is very much a running threat, and I think he'll be productive no matter what happens tonight, especially given Auburn's relatively weak defense.
Yeah, where do you put that? Obviously, around here, we would say, well, of course they're ranked in the 50s in defense. They have to play against the SEC every week. But, of course, in reality, you know, even a team that plays against great competition every week should be a little bit better than that, or typically would be better than that, as they get to a national title game. Are they weak, or do you think it's just good competition all year they've had to face?
I think they're weak. I don't think you're going to see offensively, you're not going to see a lot of really great offenses in the SEC this year, period, in the West or the East. You know, the West primarily thrived on defense with the exception of Arkansas. If you remember in that game, too, when Auburn did play Arkansas, it was a shootout where they could not stop Cam Newton. That was a bad Arkansas defense that did that, right? That was the best offensive challenge. So I think Auburn dodged a bullet there by facing the best offensive team with one of the worst defenses in their division. So I think it will affect them, especially because Oregon is so balanced. You know, if you look at the statistics, this really isn't a close call when you're looking at just the raw numbers in terms of how they performed. It's when you consider conference and scheduling and competition and how they did things that it becomes a little murkier picture and I think more favorable to Auburn.
So how good is Oregon's defense in your opinion?
They're ranked 25th in the nation. They are a very, very good defense and did very good work against some extremely productive Pac-10 offenses, especially Stanford. They will give up yards, but what they thrive off of is turnovers. So in this game, Auburn's been pretty tidy. Cam Newton has not made a lot of mistakes. If he makes mistakes tonight, Oregon will be able to capitalize.
What kinds of mistakes? I mean, I guess, you know, it seems like they've been able to overcome it, and you're saying maybe that's not going to be the case tonight because of Oregon's efficiency on offense?
Yeah, I think Oregon, particularly in the secondary, you know, at corner, particularly with Cliff Harris, I think if they go for the deep ball, which is Auburn's, once you begin stacking up on the run, they enjoy stretching the field. They will go downfield. They did so with great success later in the season, particularly against Alabama. I think those one-on-one matchups versus Auburn's receivers, who are good but not spectacular, against Oregon's secondary, that's going to be a matchup that I'm really intrigued by tonight.
So is Oregon's good defensive backfield good but not spectacular, or you think they're going to be able to shut them down a little bit?
I would classify them at pretty good. They are a pretty good secondary with a very good corner in Cliff Harris. Cliff Harris is also very quotable, saying that he likes the color green because money be green. That was the quote. He is a quote machine and a really effusive, likable dude.
I like it. Spencer Hall.
Oh, and going back to that point before I forget, I was like, oh, I have a great stat here. They're seventh in turnover margin. So they are a very, very tidy team who does not come out on the wrong side of that equation much.
Spencer Hall of Every Day should be Saturday.com joining us in the zone again, and it's good to have you back, certainly. Talk about your blog a little bit. You know, we talk sports all day, and, you know, we have a blog, too, that we write on, but I would never think that it was good enough to just pop it out there as a standalone being. How does one end up with a sports blog?
By accident. That's really how it was a hobby that got out of hand. I think you just start writing, and you start having the conversation with your readers, and then it either doesn't get out of hand, or you end up doing it full-time and wondering what you're going to do day-to-day. So I think that's what happens. I think what we tapped into is irreverence, because a blog itself, for people who don't understand, you can report the news, right? And that requires a lot of work, sourcing and calling. Or you could do what we do, which is, you know, sort of take the Daily Show approach. You know, we don't do a whole lot of reporting, but what we do is a lot of analysis, is sort of a lot of stuff written over the actual news itself, and people seem to find it entertaining.
I find it extremely entertaining.
Thank you.
What about the other bowl games? Having watched, I'm sure, a decent portion of the other bowl games, what's maybe some musings from the bowl season, I guess, as we lead up here to the championship game?
I think it was a pretty lackluster bowl season. I don't think – they're never consistent because there's just now so many games and so many teams are allowed in that, you know, you will have your 6-6 teams that are really kind of in a shambolic state playing bowl games. But a few things struck me as really interesting. I did think it was interesting that that Notre Dame played so well in the Sun Bowl, despite having, I think, far less talent than Miami did. It's just proof that sometimes when you go in, you know, as a headless team after your coach is fired, the disaster is complete no matter who you're putting on the field, right?
Unless you're Pittsburgh, I guess.
Unless you're Pittsburgh beating Kentucky. I think that's another trend, is that the SEC East did so badly, and the SEC overall. You know, but there will be no group SEC cheering at this bowl game, because the SEC's bowl record, with the exception of the streak against the Big Ten on New Year's Day, was pretty dismal. I think we're at 3-5. I may have that right. It's something like that. It's a losing record. It's going to be a losing record on the year.
It'd be 3-6 now with a Kentucky loss, I think. So, yeah, they're trying to get it closer to 500 with a win by Auburn tonight.
Yeah, it was pretty dismal. The Big East, I think, has got the best bowl record overall.
That always happens. You know, that's the misconception. And it's funny, the Big East has the best record, and we were looking at that leading up to the games. This year, the Big East, as much fun as they get made fun of by us mostly, actually has the best bowl record and the best BCS record.
They do. Come bowl time, the Big East always manages to punch well above its weight. Although some of those non-BCS games, they're playing some pretty weak competition when it comes to bowl games. So I would condition that a little bit. But yeah, the Big East generally does not get enough credit, especially for how it performs in bowl games.
Is there an official everydayshouldbesaturday.com pick?
Yeah, we've been leaning heavily Oregon because okay. It is the moral responsibility of every upright citizen to not pull for Auburn in this game. We should have a post in about 10 minutes going up on the site, which is the Founding Fathers explaining why you can't pull for Auburn.
Okay. Well, that shouldn't be too hard. We don't normally. Although, again, you get that SEC pride thing around here that always gets in the way.
This should be, and Deadspin just had something on this, which is extremely erroneous. It's really incorrect. This is a unique year. Because this is the first team I've ever seen. They've done the unimaginable. This Auburn team has played the role of the heel, right? Mm-hmm. Has played the black hat so well that they've actually broken that. You're not going to see the same sort of unified us against them tribalism you normally see out of the SEC. There won't be that. There's a lot of people. I mean, we're an SEC-centric blog, big-time SEC honks. Not this year. Not for this team.
I guess you got to call it like you see it. Just to correct something, too, and I appreciate Joe, our super producer, the freak, for pointing this out, but the SEC is playing for a 500 record tonight. LSU, Mississippi State, Alabama, and Florida, all winners in their bowl game. So 10 teams, right. 4 wins, looking for that fifth win tonight. So that'll be
playing to break even. That's not a good year for the SEC.
Yes. If only Arkansas could have done its part, we could be above 500. What do you think of the Sugar Bowl?
It was a really a very messy but very thrilling game, and I don't remember a receiving core that didn't play in Mississippi State having a game that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Mississippi State's wide receiver core over the years has had some of the most atrocious butterfingered games you've ever seen, but this came very close to those atrocious performances. And think about it, there are if Arkansas doesn't just fall on the ball in that fake punt, there's nobody around. They could have run that in. And instead, they fall on it, right? Thus dooming Mallett to throw the game-ending interception. If they fall properly on the fumble that Sonsenbacher eventually recovers in the end zone, then they get the ball. They don't surrender that TD there.
No. Arkansas's bowl performance. Yes, their performance presented by Parquet, without a doubt.
Oh yeah, I was attributing it on Twitter that night to Tasty Creole Butter. Didn't wipe their hands after eating the crawfish.
Yes, well, that may have been part of it. You know, we had a bad omen leading up to the game, Spencer, and my wife, about 4 days before the game, well, I guess it was 4 days before we left, we went out with this big deal because we like to have people over for dinner. So after dinner, what do? In the South here, you serve coffee, and that comes with sugar and cream. So we went out, made this big deal about going out and buying a milk and a sugar dish. Well, she literally dropped the sugar dish, and it broke all over the kitchen. So she texted me and said, oh, my gosh, I hope that's not a bad omen. So I put it out to the callers. Is she a bad omen? Is she a curse? Should I leave her home? Everybody said, no, take her. Well, look what happened. So I blame her.
And how long have you been married?
5 years.
All right, so you're learning. Blame the wife.
Exactly.
You can blame your spouse. That goes for women, too. Blame the husband. No matter how inaccurate it is, it'll make you feel so much better about life.
She's caught on to that a lot faster than I have, but I'm starting to learn. One last thing before we let you go. What does Every Day Should Be Saturday do when Saturdays are over, like we're going to have after today? What do you guys do? Do you guys go into mourning for a while? Do you start covering recruiting? What do you do?
It's a full-time thing now. It goes straight into sort of a two-week-ish recap season where you go over things, coaching staff changes. That's still ongoing. Then you go straight into recruiting, work up to National Signing Day. Then there's spring practice. When spring practice ends, you do get a bit of a lull in the summer. But then, camp starts up again, and then it's time for the season. And college football is a full year-round gig now. Oh, and media days. Media days is another thing in the middle of the summer that people really enjoy paying attention to for some reason.
Well, you get lots of good quotes like money be green, right?
You get that, or you get the greatest press conference of all time, which was may his soul rest in peace, Robbie Caldwell, former Vandy coach,
yes.
And the great Turkey baster. Oh, magnificent.
Yes, we're going to miss him for sure. One last thing, too, I was going to ask about what was I going to ask you about? I don't even remember. I've lost my brain. It happens all the time. I'm not very smart.
You can ask me whether I think or who Brent Musburger has money on tonight.
Who do you think Brent Musburger has money on tonight?
I think Brent Musburger's following the late big money in Vegas, which is all sliding towards Oregon at the moment. Because, you know, Brett's got people, man. I'm sure he's probably landing on the Ducks.
All right. Well, listen, Spencer, great having you back on. I appreciate it. We'll be looking for the postseason wrap-up on everyday. Should be Saturday.com. And look forward to the Media Day coverage as well down the road here.
All right. My pleasure. And also look for us on SBNation.com as well.
Will do, for sure. Thank you.